just learned Parshas Yisroi, Maimed Har Sinai, and the coming week's Parshas Ve'ela HaMishpatim. Rashi says, Ma'elu Marishoina Misinai, Afelu Misinai. Thank you very much. What is Rashi, what is Chazal trying to tell us? This whole parasha of Ve'ela Mishpatim was said at Sinai, just like the Aseres Hadibros was said at Sinai. What's the chiddush in that? What's the Hemshech HaParsha? Beginning of last week's parasha. Vayishma Yisroi Koyen Midyan Koyen Sein Moshe. Rashi says, Ma Shmua Shama Ubo. What Shmua did Yisroi hear and come? So Rashi says, Kriyas Yamsuf Milchemes Amolek. He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amolek. So how many things did he hear?
Two.
What does it mean, Ma Shmua Shama Ubo? That's one or two?
One.
It's a little strange. What Shmua did he hear? Two Shmuas. What's the Pshat Rashi? If we look at the parasha right before Maimed Har Sinai, the Hakdama to Maimed Har Sinai, the Aseres Hadibros, and we look at the parasha right after Maimed Har Sinai, we find a stark difference in one word. Vayihi bayom ha-shlishi, vayihi ha-boiker, vayihi koilei suvrokim v'onon koveid alohor. It was in the morning, and there were koilei suvrokim. What is koilei suvrokim? Great sounds and brokim. What are brokim? Lightning. Lightning. Shvi, right after the Aseres Hadibros. V'chol ha'am ro'im es ha'koilois v'es, not ha'brokim, but es ha'lapidim. The brokim are not here anymore. The lightning's not here. What's here? Lapidim, torches. What's going on? Why did the lightning become torches? Strange thing. The truth is that just as a first pass, if we want to understand the difference between lightning, which is bright light, it's a light that lights up the sky, a night, a rainstorm, it's dark, and a flash of lightning lights up the whole sky. You could see it as if it looks as if it's day. But that's different than a torch. How's it different than a torch? So the first thing, I had this ha'ara 3 years ago. The first thing I thought about was that before Matan Torah, Torah is a light to the world. Even before Matan Torah, Torah is a light. But it's distant. It's not here. When the Torah is given to Klal Yisrael, it's given to us as a torch. It's our guide. It's personal. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah to be our guide. So the brokim, that distant light, is something that becomes personal to us. But there's something, I think, that goes together with this that perhaps gives it a little bit of a depth. When I had this aura, I came to my Shabbos table and I was ready to say this vort. Torch is a personal thing. Lightning is a distant light. And my little daughter said, when she heard the question, she says at the table, she says, oh, so lightning became fire. I said, whoa. You just said a big vart. She said, no, I just explained what you asked. You know, we say two brachas on Torah every day. And the Torah has a problem. Why are there two brachas on Torah? What mitzvah do you have? Yes, make two brachas on. So the Bach explains that the reason why the Torah has a problem is because the Torah is explaining that the first bracha is a birchas ha-mitzvahs. Lasik b'divrei soira, the birchas ha-mitzvah. But the second bracha is asher bochar bonu mikol ha-amim. V'nosan lono es toirosu. Noisen ha-Torah is a birchas ha-shvach. It's a bracha of praise to HaKadosh Baruch. Praise that He's chosen us to have His Torah. But the Torah says, and this is something lahalocha, the Torah says you have to have a special kavana at the second bracha of Birchas HaTorah. What is that kavana that you have to have? B'yichavin b'birchosoy al maimer har sinai. When a person says the bracha of Asher Bocha Abonu Mikol Ha'amim, Birchas HaTorah every day, he has to have kavana about Maimed Har Sinai. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Maimed, we have to remember Maimed Har Sinai. A lot of things happen in Maimed Har Sinai. What about Maimed Har Sinai do we have to remember, Zok Tator? Eich Shebocha Abonu Mikol Ha'umois, V'kervanu Lifnei Har Sinai, V'hishmi'onu Dvorov Mitoich Ha'esh. And he let us hear, he gave over for us to hear his words, mitoich fire. Fire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah, mitoich ha'esh, a fire. And this is the one thing we have to, of Maimed Har Sinai, the one thing about Maimed Har Sinai we have to remember. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah of fire. What I see in this tour is something very deep. Fire has the ability to transform. Fire takes something that's raw, makes it edible. Fire, something that encounters fire, is not the same as it was before, but it's something more than that. Fire represents passion. It represents inspiration. It represents a desire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah, klei chemdosoi, says the Torah. A Torah of chemda, of desire. And that's mitoich ha'esh. A praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that He gave us something to be inspired about and by. He gave us a Torah to live by. He gave us a Torah that's our personal guide. And it's something that's constant. It's a constant fire. Lightning is cold and distant, and it's a flash. It's a flash of light. But in Torah, we have a personal torch. And that personal torch is with us at all times. And it's a torch of fire. So the Baruch becomes Esh, becomes Lapidim. Agav, it's very interesting, we find in last week's Haftarah, Devoira Hanaviyah is called Eshes what? Eshes Lapidos. She's called the wife of Lapidos. But what was his name? Anybody know? Barak ben Avinoya. So Barak and Lapidos. Not sure what that says, but it says something. Rabbeisai, we wake up in the morning and we say Berachas HaTorah. We're not just making a bracha on a mitzvah. We're making a bracha on HaKadosh Baruch Hu choosing us and giving us reason, passion, goals, motivation, inspiration. And that inspiration is there for us constantly. And that's what the Torah has to be to us. And that's what it has to mean to us. It's purpose. when a person has purpose and goals and aspirations, that's his passion. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu said is, this is the passion of the world. And it's given to my people. It's given to Klal Yisrael. It's yours. And that's the greatest shvach we could say of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. When we're inspired, inspiration has to have a lemaisa. If inspiration doesn't have a lemaisa, if it doesn't come to something, if it doesn't bring me to a hakara, to take things to a different height, a different level, then something bad, the inspiration can turn to cynicism. Shia LaBelza says that the entire world was quaking with Kriyas Yamsuf. Shamu Amim Yergozon Chil Ochaz Yoishvei Ploshes. Everyone was quaking, everyone, except, but what happened? Oz Nivhalu Alufei Edoim. Edoim, Amalek, they were confused. They didn't want HaKlal Yisrael to be Berum HaMailo. Kriyas Yamsuf screamed to the world, these are my people. And they're going and they're hurtling towards their destiny. And they're going to get the Torah, I'm going to give them my Torah. Kleichem Dasa. And Amalek doesn't want that to happen. Amalek becomes confused and they have to come in battle. They take the greatest inspiration and they become cynical. Yisrael saw that. Yisrael saw the jeopardy in not bringing his inspiration, Lemaisa. He saw the jeopardy in not coming and cleaving to Klal Yisrael. As Memele Yisrael went, and Yisrael, Mashmua Shoma Ubo, he didn't hear two things. He heard the reaction of Amalek to Kriyas Yamsuf, and he saw how Amalek became smitten by Kriyas Yamsuf, by coming to battle against Klal Yisrael after Kriyas Yamsuf. Memele, what did Yisrael do? He did the exact opposite. Mashmua Shoma Ubo, the Shmua of Melchemes Amalek, the reaction to Kriyas Yamsuf. It was one Shmua. It was one Shmua, and that's why he came. But you know something? It's not so easy to be constantly inspired. Every day, come, first said, Shachris, first said, second said, the night said. And sometimes it's hard. It's difficult. It's not all bells and whistles. It's not all and fakert. The difficulty in learning is what brings its sweetness in the end. So there's a stark difference between Yisrael and Mishpatim. Maimed Har Sinai is Koilei Suvrakim, Koilei Sulapidim. It's bells and whistles. It's divine revelation of the highest sort. It's Gilui Kvoid Shamayim to Klal Yisrael. It's the greatest inspiration. And then it's Ve'ela HaMishpatim. You gotta sit down and you have to learn the Dinam of Eved Ivri. You go to Daf Yudalit in Kedushin. And then you learn Am Evriya. And then Maki Yish Vameis Mois Yumos. Shalai Tzadah Lekim Bava Kama Bava Metzia. All the difficult sugyas. And a person has to realize that same inspiration that he has at Maimed Har Sinai not only has to carry him through these sugyas, but he has to bring that to these sugyas. Perhaps that's the hemshech of Ve'ela HaMishpatim. It's not only the bells and whistles. It's toil. It's work. It's amelus. And it starts out with darkness. It starts out with difficulty. I don't understand it. I don't understand that. I'm not sure what Tosfos is asking. Is Rashi the same as Tosfos or different? And what is the Marshai asking? And what does Rabbi Kivega want? And what's the pshat in the Rashba? And then when it all comes together, it's the greatest mesikos. It's the greatest sweetness. The Torah is our passion. The Torah is our constant guide. That's the gift of Torah. That's the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. When inspiration has to turn, as one of a Rebbeim I used to teach with in Masifta, he used to speak at a mesiba, and you know, every mesiba has the drushes and then the dancing, right? Dancing and the music. he would say, now it's time to turn inspiration to perspiration. Yeah. But that's what it is in learning. We get inspired. You gotta sit down and work. You know, I don't know if you ever heard of Rav, you knew Rav, there was a Rav. It was actually a Rav. It was a shul right next to my house when I grew up. His name was Rav Zimmerman. His brother was the famous Mo, Rav Zimmerman. Rav Zimmerman was born in America. He came back. He went back to Baranovich to learn by Rabbi Chanan. An American boy. He went to Baranovich to learn by Rabbi Chanan. He learnt with such amelus. His son-in-law told me that he once walked into a room. It was about 30 degrees outside, and the windows were open in the room, and he was hurrying over a Tosfos Bava Kamma, and he was sweating. I couldn't believe it. He says, you want me to shut the door? No, he says, I'm really hot. Amelus. But it's our inspiration. And it has to bring us through and realize that all that toil brings sweetness. We have to be inspired to do that. So I'd like to share a story with you. There was I heard this story from Rav Naftali Weiss in Borough Park. He's the head of a yeshiva. And he heard this from the Chabad Shliach in Atlanta, Georgia. And the Chabad Shliach in Atlanta, Georgia had a shul. They had one of the few shuls in Atlanta. And there was one balabas of his, was an older European Jew who was a Holocaust survivor. He was a Holocaust survivor. And he was a very important member of the congregation. He davened regularly. You could always count on him for a minion. You know, Chabad is a minion 24/7 for whatever you need. And this guy, you could always count on him, no problem. There was one thing that he never was present for. Duchenim. Birchas Koyanim, he never showed. He always left. Ritzei, he's at the door. Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, was never there for Duchenim. And he noticed this, the Rav. He felt it was lo na'im to confront this person's a Holocaust survivor. He's much older than him. He didn't feel it was an appropriate thing to do, so he invites him to his Sukkah for Kiddush, the first day of Sukkot. He wants to see what happens. Is he going to leave shul? I mean, he's got to come to the Rav for the Kiddush. Comes Ritzei, he's out the door. A half hour later, he's at the Rav's. The Sukkah. So the Rav, he doesn't know what to do. He says, he can't. Please tell me the story. How come you never come to Duchenim? He says, I'll tell you the story. He says, you know, I'm a Holocaust survivor. I was in the concentration camp. I was in a labor camp. And in the labor camp, they specifically wanted young men who had some strength left in them to do the labor. But in that camp, I was with a bunch of young men, my age. And there was an older chashiva person who was there, who tried to inspire us to remain frum, tried to inspire us with telling us what parsha it was. He would try to inspire us telling us different halachas, v'chule v'chule. Came 2 months before Pesach. And he says, okay, boys, it's coming Pesach in 2 months, right? It's almost Ben Azman. And we're going to learn Hilchus Pesach. We're going to start. They start with Hilchus Afias Matzah. So one of the guys says, Rabbi, I mean, we're not baking matzahs. I hate to break the news to you. We're not going to have matzah. What are we learning? Hilchus Afias Matzah. He says, no, you're making a mistake. And this Yid turns to this person who was talking to the Rav in Atlanta, Georgia, and he says, you clean the commandant's house, right, every day. You're going to go to the kitchen every day, and you're going to steal some flour. You're going to steal flour. And you're going to put it in your pocket, and every day you're going to come back with some flour. We're going to put it all together, and it comes Erev Pesach, we're going to make a fire, and we're going to bake matzahs, we're going to have matzahs for Pesach. Every day they did it, they were so inspired, so excited about it. It came, they were able to, they banged rocks together, they made a fire, a tin can, they had a few matzahs. They were able to put together a few matzahs. They were going to have a seder with one thing. They didn't have any yayin, they didn't have anything else. They had holach ma'anya. And they sat down Leil Pesach, in the barracks of a labor camp, under the noses of the Nazis, and they couldn't believe how they pulled this off. And they're about to start the Seder, and in walks the commandant. Somebody tipped him off, he looks and he says, "Who's responsible for this?" And this person says, "I stood up and I was about to say exactly what happened. I said, I'm responsible. This Elder Yid who taught us this and put us up to this stood up and said, sit down, it's me. It's my fault. I organized the whole thing." Commandant takes his revolver off his belt. He puts his gun to the head of this Elder Yid. He's about to pull the trigger. He says, "No, that's too good. It's too good for you. We're going to do this at roll call tomorrow in front of the entire camp. 1,000 people lined up. 5 a.m., everybody's awakened. They're on a line. They're all lined up." He calls this guy to the front. And he says, "This is what happens with insubordination in this camp. You break the rules, you're executed." Takes his gun, puts it to his head. He says, "Can I have one final request before my execution?" So he said, "Of course, we're civilized people. What civilized people doesn't grant a last request before execution?" He says, "I am a kohen, I'm a priest. Today's the first day of Pesach. We bless the congregation on Pesach, on Yom Tov. My final request is that I have one last chance to bless the congregation." He says, "Go ahead." Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. Right? Makes the bracha. Shalom Kedushas Shel Aharon. B'Ahava. And he hears an unbelievable roar. Amen. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Amen. Yor Hashem ponav eilecha v'chuneka. Amen. 1,000 people screaming, Amen. Yis Hashem ponav eilecha v'yoseim l'cha sholoim. Amen. Resounding. Earth shaking. Ear shattering. And after the Amen, the gunshot that kills him. He says that we were liberated a few months later. I was terribly angry at the Rabbeinu Shalom. I landed in San Francisco. And the first thing I did was buy a ham sandwich. I sat down to eat the ham sandwich. Almost made a bracha. And the only thing that was resonating in my head as I'm about to take a bite is Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Amen. Can't do it. Threw out the sandwich. Days went on, weeks went on, months went on. I met a goy, a goyte. We started dating. We became engaged to be married. A week before the wedding, I'm laying in bed thinking about the wedding. And all that's reverberating in my head, I have to break it off. I can't marry a Gentile. He broke off the engagement. He moved to Atlanta. He said, "I moved to Atlanta. I married a Jewish girl. We had children and grandchildren. I raised generations of from Jewish Erlich people. The reason why I walk out for Birchas Kohanim is because I never want the effect of that Birchas Kohanim to wear off. I never want to hear another Birchas Kohanim to lessen the effect of Birchas Kohanim." That's the story. In life, things inspire us. We can't lose that inspiration. That inspiration has to be our guiding light. It has to be the guiding light of Torah in our lives, wherever we find ourselves, wherever we may find ourselves, wherever we go. And it has to be a fire and a guide. You, Baruch Hashem, have the opportunity to learn here in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. Not very far from the Makom where everything began. The Makom where the Aron HaKodesh sat. The Luchos. The Shivrei Luchos, the Luchos HaShleimim. We're inspired. Always remain inspired. and take that inspiration with you wherever you are. And let Torah be your passion. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us that there's nothing else to be passionate about. Okay, thank you for listening.